time to get ready. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1. What an awesome God that we serve. Praise you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 1, have you got it? Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth." Here's God making man, right, in His own image. Verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. Here we see one of the first things God does for man is He releases on him the blessing. Now I'm convinced when God blesses something, it's not just kind of a nice word, oh, just have a good day. It's a tangible force, a tangible impartation that causes man to be above all the rest of creation. Do you follow me? In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we've been going there some. It says, if you'll listen to and obey the voice of the Lord your God, amen, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. We were talking about this Thursday night. We've been used to in the past as a charismatic Word of Faith Christian being able to reach from our situations we're in into the kingdom of heaven and pull out the blessings into our life. You need healing, you can reach in and you can fight a good fight of faith, right, and pull healing into your life. You need finances, sow a seed, use your faith, pull prosperity into your life. Peace, joy, family salvation, restoration, deliverance. You can pull it out of the kingdom. And we're learning to do that, right? And we know how to war over the prophecies and speak the word, and having done all to stand ye therefore. But God is making a shift for His church. And I'm telling you, when you're fighting these fights of faith, the blessings are available you can pull into your life, but they are not coming on you and overtaking you automatically. And there's a place, I believe Deuteronomy 28 is prophetic of the end times. There's a place you can get with God where you're not pulling out of the kingdom, you've transitioned and you're living in the kingdom. And now, because there's blessings here everywhere, all of a sudden, healing is automatic coming on you. Joy, peace, restoration, deliverance, prosperity is overtaking you. Now, I know this sounds far-fetched to many people, but this is what the Word says. And I believe God's calling us to move to that place of dwelling in His presence, in His glory, that we don't have to stand for something. It just comes on you. And He's wanting us to learn how to move into that realm where all the blessings are tangibly upon your life automatically. You're the head and not the tail. Above only, never beneath. Your basket and your storehouses are full. Amen? All your children shall call you blessed. It's just an overflow of God's goodness. And the end time church is being trained how to move into that realm. Again, I know it sounds so wild for the average Christian to believe this. But we've made a decision to believe the Word versus tradition. Do you follow me? And God's Word is full of promises of moving into His end time glory. James chapter 5, go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries will come upon you. That's happening right now. Epstein is in jail. You may not know who that is, but that's Bill Clinton's friend who has the pedophile island that Bill Clinton flew with 26 times to this island with him. And it's just a perverted haven. Amen. And they want to attack Trump because Trump knew Epstein. He never flew there. He refused to go anywhere with him. Anyway, God is exposing the wicked. They're weeping and howl. And it talks about the wealth of the wicked in James 5 also being converted to the hands of the righteous. What's that? I believe it's going to be to a people dwelling in the kingdom. that have learned to believe the Word, speak the Word, act on the Word, that become masters of that realm. And the blessing is more than a kind word. It's God's forces behind your life that cause you to win in every situation. And I've made a shift in my life of confessing every day that blessing on my life. I'm blessed. But there's a battle to it. There's a war to believing for the blessing. Pastor Callahan, I feel like I'm going three or four different directions at one time. But he brought forth the word at homecoming on Friday night that if you want to increase in God, you got to leave some things behind. You got to empty yourself of some wrong things to receive of the right things. Because two things can't occupy the same space at the same time, right? So there's an emptying to be refilled with the things of God. And right now, if you're seeking God, He's dealing with you with things to empty out of your life. And it may not be sin, it could just be distractions. In fact, I'm convinced the greatest enemy to the charismatic moving to the glory in these end times are distractions. The cares of this life, where you've sown the seed, the parable of the sower, you sow the seed, it starts to bring forth and produce, you start to prosper, and now the thorns, the cares of this life, right, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, overtake you, and it chokes out your time with God. You got to be careful of that. Amen. And everybody kept looking straight ahead as God's dealing with them in issues of their life. And it'll choke out your time, your worship time, your word time. You're seeking Him. And we can't afford that. So there's things you have to empty out. Maybe you got distractions, but guess what? You can turn off the internet. You can shut off the television. You can read a book versus, you know, do fluff stuff. Maybe there's hobbies He's calling you hate. Lay that aside. Spend the time with me. What I'm getting at is the responsibilities we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to move into the glory of God. And something God's been showing me on, here's transparency time. You follow me? And I was meditating this on the way to church this morning. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe some of the things I was raised in, maybe some issues with my dad. I don't know whether it was going through high school and up until my senior year, I was quite, how can I say, elevation challenged. I was short. And so I was always having to fight for my position, you follow me? And but where something in the back of my mind seemed to have me ready for somebody to do something bad to me. And I named it some time back. I called it a victim mentality. In other words, somebody's going to try to attack you. And it always had me just in the back of my mind ready. Somebody will say the wrong thing to you. How are you going to respond? They're going to do the wrong thing. Whatever. Are they going to cut you off in traffic? Hopefully you can follow where I'm going with this. And I knew it wasn't godly thinking. And I've been confessing for some time, and it's like I'm hitting a place of just attacking this thing. Every time that thought tries to arise, somebody's not going to do the user turn signal. They're going to say the wrong thing, look at you wrong or whatever. I'm the head, not the tail, above only, never beneath. You follow me? I'm not a victim. I always win. He always calls me to triumph. Amen? And what I'm getting at was it was a small issue that would never even be of concern normally. But God's showing some embedded things down there that He wants me to eradicate to be able to go fully into the glory and walk in love. They're little blockers. And so it's things I'm dealing with the Word. Do you follow me? I don't know if you follow the whole train of thought or not. But God's probably going to have things that you've been programmed with in your past He wants you to get free of. Reactions, responses, mindsets, to really become a vessel flowing in the love of God. You know, one of the key ones we've talked about in the past is rejection. The spirit of rejection. You've got to get over that. Well, they're going to reject me. And that could be part of that thing that's trying to, you know, I hear it in the background. That rejection thing, you know. Your dad didn't like you. People rejected you. Well, I'm not rejected anymore. Do you follow me? I'm loved now. Why would I be concerned about that? And if they don't like me, then their mind's tainted. Because my nickname is now Cuddles. And that's my confession, and I'm sticking with it. You know, I went to this motorcycle thing yesterday. I'm just rambling for the moment, but sometimes the Spirit of God will speak to you through the rambling. And I went to this motorcycle thing, and motorcycle people are kind of different. Quite a bit different. And, you know, I've been riding motorcycles all of my life. Over 50 years I've been on motorcycles. A lot. I bought my first Harley Davidson in 1979. That's been 40 years ago. And I'm a fairly good rider. I mean, I'm not a slouch. I'm not jumping hills and doing flips in the air, but up to that, I'm okay. And I will go to Harley-Davidson shops because I look like a geek. I couldn't get waited on. Bikers would look down their nose at you, like, who's this guy? Until I grew the beard. Now I get waited on. Just a slight Patty Bullet. It made such a change. Oh, he's got a beard, man. Yeah, I'll wait on him. It was an actual shift in how I was treated in Harley Davidson shops. And yesterday I'm at this bike thing. There are hundreds and hundreds. How many motorcycles do they have? Any idea how many motorcycles show up for that? For that bike day in Cynthiana? There was at least that. They were parked in every which direction on the streets. And bikers everywhere. And you can notice, because I'm trying to witness and talk to people, who really has a personality to hear you, treat you like another person, and those that look down your nose like, you ain't got any tattoos, I ain't talking to you. Thought about putting some of those, you know, temporary ones on just to, you know, anchor or something like it, mother, across my arm, just for witnessing, you know, power. At least I had a vest on, you know, with a patch on the back. It wasn't official patches, but I had a patch on the back. So most would talk to me, but you see these ones like, I ain't talking to you. What you trying to talk? I ain't talking to you. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't know who you are in Christ, that can bother you. But I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you don't like me, that's your problem, not mine. I'm going to talk to the next person. And what I'm getting at is there's issues you have to deal with to get out of your thinking to move into that place of dwelling with God. Because you can't bring stupid thinking into the glory. Now, this is nowhere close to what I was going to share this morning. But I've been in the glory before. I had the one time I was in the glory for 2 weeks. And I have a saying that the glory fixes everything. Because in the glory, faith is automatic. You need healing? Father, I think I'm healed. Boom, there it is. And if you want to pray for somebody, everybody I prayed for that period of time got healed instantly. It was like life was so easy with God because you're inundated with Him. You're immersed in God. And that's that place where you get in the kingdom where all these blessings come on you and overtake you. And of course, I've shared it before, but when it lifted, I asked God, God, what did I do wrong to lose the glory? And He said, you didn't do anything wrong. I've given you a taste of what I'm bringing to the church. So I'm telling you, let God make the changes in your thinking, in your walk, in your life, in your reactions. And seek Him. And make that transition. So the blessing, getting back to our message, the blessing is a tangible force. It's a tangible impartation. We've called the blessing empowerment to prosper. I call it entitled to win. It makes you come out on top. And the blessing was so valuable that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wanted the blessing. Jacob wanted it so much he was willing to lie, cheat, and steal to get it. Now that doesn't really, I've never understood that. Why would God bless the cheater? The liar. The stealer. You follow me? Why would? And you know why? Because God's after the hunger. And he can overlook the transgression based on somebody's hunger for the things of the kingdom. Amen. And he can deal with the wrong attitudes later, which he later did. You remember Jacob wrestled with God and was changed. He shifted his heart towards his brother Esau. Repented of you follow me? But he kept his hunger for God. And because he had that blessing passed down from Isaac, when he went over to Laban's house, his cousin, right? No matter what contract they made for possession of the newborn herd, it always fell Jacob's direction. And he virtually bankrupted his wicked cousin. And so, that's what the blessing does for you. Everything falls your direction. See, do you remember in Acts where Judas had hung himself, they needed to choose a new disciple, and they chose two, right, to make the replacement. And they didn't take a vote. How did they choose the new individual to have it? They drew lots. Because the Bible says God is the God of the lot. See, a lot of what do you think are games of chance? God's got a hand in. That's why I avoid that lottery. I avoid the gambling. Because that's not God's way of increase. And it's not going to fall your way. Amen? Demons prosper the wicked through those methods. But yet the lot will fall to God. What I'm getting at is when it's something that looks like it could be a toss-up, because the blessings on you will always fall your way. You follow me? You want to buy a car, there's your car. Other people are after it, it'll fall your way. You want the house, it'll fall your way. You need the loan, it'll fall your way. Whatever. Whatever form of favor, it will fall your way. Why? Because he's the God of the lot. And that's a major aspect of the blessing on your life, is God's backing everything you're doing. And there's a supernatural blessed force behind causing you to come out on top. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, if Jacob could become extremely wealthy because of the blessing on his life, that everything he chose, everything he was involved, everything was chose for him. Laban chose, in some of the occasions, which blessing he would receive, and it would reverse, and it would still fall Jacob's way. How much more will God bless you as end-time representative moving into the glory? Just choose to align your life with him. So we see here, the first thing that God released, one of the first things that God released upon Adam and Eve was the blessing. Why they needed it to exercise their dominion over the earth. Amen. To be fruitful and multiply. Now with that in mind, turn over. Let me see where it is. Oh, Luke chapter 24. I was looking all down through my notes, and it was the very top one. Luke chapter 24. And here we have the resurrection of Jesus. And he's about to ascend to heaven. Remember Jesus, when he rose up, he ascended to heaven? His last act with the disciples as a corporate group. Look at verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Do you see this? One of the first acts God released upon Adam and Eve was to bless them. And the last act Jesus releases upon the disciples before he ascends to heaven is to release the blessing. Now what happened? Abraham, when he was dying, blessed Isaac. Isaac, when he was dying, thought he was anyway, he still lived a long time, blessed Jacob. And Jesus, when he's leaving, who carried the fullness of the blessing, the last thing he does, he says, now I'm releasing this blessing on you. Go into all the earth and preach the gospel. That blessing is yours by faith in Jesus. But you've got to believe in it. You've got to believe for it. And there may be some aspects of your thinking you've got to get rid of, like I was attempting to share earlier, that you can't take into the blessing and not manifest it fully. If you think everybody looks down on you, if you have a victim mentality, if you're always walking around expecting to be dissed, if you have a spirit of rejection, those are things that will hinder you from carrying this. And God wants us to walk around knowing we're going to come out on top. How about this one? Have you ever said this? Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong in my life. How about this one? Nothing ever goes right for me. You follow me? Have you ever said that? That is the very opposite of the blessing. But it creates a mindset of failure, of coming up short. How about this one? And I really believe this may be the root of what I was trying to share with you this morning. No matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, it's never good enough. Now again, let me share some transparency with you. My father and I didn't have a very good relationship. From the standpoint, he never seemed to be satisfied with my efforts. You know, if I made an A in something, it should have been an A+. If I built something, well, he could have done better. You should have done it. And I carried it around with me, and I didn't get over this until I got out on my own, that I realized I wasn't a failure. It developed in me a mindset that, and Patty probably can attest to some of this, that it just wasn't going to be as good as it needed to be. And part of it can be a father wanting to inspire his children to do better, but it also can be, you know, something to beat your children down with. And so I carried with me this thought, nobody's ever going to be happy with what I do. It was just in the back of my mind. And it wasn't until I got on my own and working in the industry, realized I was good at what I did. They paid me well for what I did. They promoted me for it. Maybe I'm not a failure. Because when I was young, I really thought I would end up, before I was saved, I'd be a drunk all of my life. I'd die at a young age, probably lay in a gutter somewhere, living out of a box. That was kind of in the back of my mind. Because I couldn't comprehend I would ever succeed at any high level. Well, it didn't take long finding out I could succeed for me to cast most of that down. But I think there was still some residue of it, that it's not going to be good enough. And God's dealt with me. He's satisfied with my efforts. Do you follow me? Cast it down and receive the blessing. Because as long as you think you're not good enough or it's not going to be good enough, you can't receive of it fully. So God will deal with you about those issues. I'm not trying, this is not to be trying to be personal confession day. God will deal with you about issues. If he's dealing with me, he's going to deal with you. Because you know, I've got this down better than you do. Just kidding. He's dealing with all of us of mental shifts to get rid of clutter and junk. Maybe you're reacting the wrong way, or really, here's the key of expecting in the wrong fashion. And I expect to win. And if I don't expect to win, I'm going to keep saying I expect to win. And I'm going to keep saying my head and off the tail, above only, never beneath. He's made me more than a conqueror. I'm the righteous God of Christ Jesus. You follow me? And you keep saying it and casting down and saying it and shifting your expectation that now God's blessing can overtake my life and change the way we perceive our future's going to fall. fall's not the right word, how it's going to flow. If you really believe in the blessing, you can't lose. Amen. Healing will come up on your life out of the blessing. Finances will flow your way out of the blessing. And He's never let me down. Amen. He won't let you down either. So here we see the first thing Adam and Eve received was the blessing, one of the first things. And the last thing Jesus left behind was the blessing. And if that's the last thing He left behind, it must be the first thing we should get a hold of. And the church as a whole has no comprehension of that blessing on their life. I'm absolutely, here I'm going to go on a rant. I keep hearing people say this to me. I'll say to a Christian, how are you? They'll say, better than I deserve. Amen. Again, not picking on anybody. But I heard the name of a band was Undeserved. Or Undeserving, something like that. Well, listen. When I was a sinner, I was undeserving. But God had mercy on me. And through His infinite grace, He imparted to me His very own divine nature. And if I now have God's nature on the inside, it was unearned, but now I deserve it. Do you follow me? God may be deserving. God, nature of God's on the inside of me. It's on the inside of you. You're deserving. Yet we always want to enter into this mindset of, hey, I've got to work for the things of God. I've got to be good enough. I've got to prove myself. And God's just saying, believe me, let me change you. But know you're deserving of the blessing on your life to be favored. And everywhere I've gone, I hear Christians, pastors talking about, well, you know, we just don't deserve anything from God. But bless His holy name, may He will give us a morsel from heaven. I'm deserving of His best. Not through anything I earned, but through who He made me. And I deserve His best. So therefore, I deserve the blessing. Well, that's not fair. I didn't say anything about fair. It's God. It's not fair. But the good news is, anybody that will receive Jesus can enter that not fair state of operation. Are you with me this morning? And we should desire that blessing and know we deserve it. Confess we receive it. And let God overtake us with His goodness. Praise God. Romans chapter 4. I'm hoping I didn't lose any of you guys today with all that decoration. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Do you see this? It says, David was talking about the blessedness of the man that doesn't earn God's blessing, but whose sins are forgiven. And that's you. You are the one who, as you stand in right standing with God, as you walk following the Spirit, God will not impute to you sin. You are forgiven in advance. And it says, because of that positioning of being a child of God, walking in right standing with Him, the blessing is on your life. Well, you mean somebody that's out there just, you know, working hand and foot that doesn't know the Lord? you can do better than them? Absolutely. You're a child of God. You want to know what's not fair to me? Bill Gates' kids had more access to money growing up than I did. That ain't fair. Do you follow me? How about the Trump kids? You know, the Trump kids, you know, they're shown with these, you know, phenomenal surroundings, given great positions. I mean, how many of you are given these government positions just because you're somebody's child? Now, you're training it, you're qualified, but, you know, you had that opportunity. That's not fair. But guess what? I'm the king's kid. And what's on my life, I wouldn't trade for anything on somebody else's life that doesn't know the Lord. I wouldn't trade God's hand on my life for the most wealthy position on earth without Jesus. The most influential or powerful position on earth, I wouldn't trade it for salvation for anything. And because I'm the king's kid, it may not be fair, but God's favor is on my life. And as the wealth of the wicked starts coming to us, the wicked are going to cry, that's not fair. No, it's God. Amen? And it's God's Word. And God's Word declares it's to come to us if we'll just believe for it. Amen? And know who you are in Christ. And grab a hold of it by faith. Romans chapter 15. And Paul is talking about coming to visit the believers. He says in verse 29, "And I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Hey, he didn't say just the blessing. He said the fullness of the blessing. I believe Paul, especially toward the end of his ministry, really came to understand at a much higher level the blessing of God on his life. And I want the fullness of the blessing on me wherever I go. And this is the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Everything the gospel offers, everything the Word of God offers, I want the fullness of. I want to be those that doesn't leave a single promise of God behind. And what an honor, what an opportunity to demonstrate to the world God's ability to bless. But you probably won't step into it as long as you feel like a failure. As you feel like you're always coming up short or nothing works right for you. And what I'm trying to get across this morning, those are mindsets we've got to shift to move into this. You can't have a help. You cannot have a helpless mentality move into the blessing. You got to have, I can do all things through Christ mindset. Do you believe that today? If you believe that, you're willing to step out in some things. You want to know something? Again, I've got these sidetracks that keep going on today. You want to know something you can't afford in your life? You can't afford to say, well, I could never do that. I just can't do that. That's not, now, listen, there's things I'm not using my faith for, I don't intend to do. So I might say, I can't sing. And really, that's not true. That's a lie. I can sing. It just sounds horrible. No. I am certain if a person who sang like I do used their faith appropriately, God can shift their voice. It's just not on my priority list. Do you follow me? What I'm saying, we can't afford to say, I can't do that. Especially regarding assignments of God. Oh, I can't take care of babies. Yes, you can. Use your faith. I can't witness to people. Sure you can. Reach out your hand, shake it, tell them about Jesus. Pray ahead of time. Say, God, your blessing's on me. Help me to fulfill this assignment. Because the assignment to evangelize is upon all of us. And either you believe there's a blessing on you to do these things or you don't. See, to move into the kingdom, there's going to be a recognition that through your flesh, you can't do anything. But through faith, you can do anything. Well, I can't dunk a basketball. I believe through faith, if you had enough faith, you could. I mean, if you can move a mountain, how hard is it to have God to have you jump high enough to dump a basketball? I mean, an angel reaches under your foot and just goes, whoop. You can do it through faith, maybe not through physical ability, but we're not talking about your physical ability. We're talking about the blessing of God on your life. Amen. Well, I can't walk on water. Apparently, according to the Word, you can. Not for pride reasons, but by faith it's possible. And Jesus is not the only one that ever walked on water. There's many accounts of that. Hallelujah. Did I lose you on that statement? Read A Mighty Rushing Wind by Mel Torrey. I don't know if I have any more copies in the bookstore or not. Seemed like I might have bought some. About a revival in Micronesia several years back, where they were being chased by a warring tribe wanting to kill them, a whole group of Christians. They came to the raging river, and they had no place to run, and they remembered in the Word that Jesus walked on the water. So they said, Father, we think we can walk on water. And they walked across the raging river, all the way across it, on top of it, got to the other side. And when the enemy tried to do it, they said, well, they did it, we can do it. They all drowned. At least the ones that stepped into the water did. And they were delivered. You can do all things through God and through that blessing. Because God's assigned you to come out on top. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now I'm about to show you something I don't know if I've ever been heavily aware of before. 1 Corinthians 10. And Paul here is talking about communion. Does everybody know what communion is? Look at verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. He calls it, I never noticed this. And I thought I knew everything in the Word. Just kidding. That'd be a stupid statement, wouldn't it? I never noticed it's called the cup of blessing. Because we're so used to Englishizing everything we read. Oh yeah, the cup we speak over nicely. We bless it. This communion cup is recognized here by Paul to be the cup of the blessing of Christ on our lives. That we take as a communion body of Christ. A corporate body. We as the body of Christ have a right to the corporate blessing on us. That if we get a hold of the blessing, God will elevate this church above every organization around, every man-made entity. We'll have favor in everything that we do and put our hands to. You follow me? No matter how hard the wicked tries to stomp us out, we just get bigger and greater and stronger. Why? Because the blessing is on our life, not just individually, but corporately as the many body of Christ. Many faceted, we're called in Scripture. Praise you, Jesus. We have a right to winning. We just got to trust God and believe God. I had another experience with God's blessing on my life. What was the work day I assigned? Friday. I had invited people over to help me work on this new Chevy Tahoe we have for Chariots of Light for the church. And I knew everybody had a work schedule, so only two of us showed up, me and God. And so I go to take the first wheel off this truck. It had huge oversized tires on it because it was for the Department of Mining, and apparently the guys thought it'd be fun to go mud running. I have never seen so much mud under a vehicle. I crawled under it multiple times with my pressure washer. Under it with a pressure washer, just doing this. And my whole driveway is now covered in mud. I got a mud thing at the bottom of the driveway. I don't know how much mud. I mean, probably several hundred pounds of mud I took out from under there. Every mud and everything. And I come out and I'm caked in it. I'm just caked in mud. And I can't pressure wash myself. And so I did hose myself. Getting all this mud out of this thing. Not realizing, I don't know what kind of a jackhammer they put, or air hammer they put those lug nuts on with. I have some heavy-duty tools, and I've got a big, long extension with a socket going on that thing with a pipe on it. It looks like it's going to break my breakover bar socket wrench in two. It's flexing so much. And if I need to call Wayne for his tools, he's got some huge stuff. I think it's going to break the lug nuts off, and then I really have a mess. I stopped, and I prayed, Father, help me with this. And I'd sprayed liquid wrench on everything. I said, Father, help me with this. I need these lug nuts off. I don't need a big job out of taking off a tire. And as I prayed in the Spirit, pop, pop, they all came loose. And it took me maybe 2 hours to do that one wheel. Well, that one side of the car, because I had to change the shock absorber. It's all rusted up. I've got to change brake lines. It takes some time replacing stuff. And I think, and I got four sides of the car to do, and I got to fight it like this. So, Father, there's angels. Help me take these off. And every other wheel came right off. And I know God was in on that. And the first one took 2 hours to do. The rest of the car may have taken 2 hours to do. Just getting God involved. And believing for that blessing, speaking the blessing over your life. This works well. So we have a truck with all new shock absorbers, some new brake lines, changed out the tires and wheels, pressure washed the fire out of that thing. Amen. I didn't know you could put that much mud under a truck or on a driveway. Praise God. So it's the cup of blessing that we partake of. I want, when we take communion from now on, we have this mindset. We're not just blessing, you know, we're not just believing for healing and unity and forgiveness, but also the blessing. It belongs to us. We win, right? Have I rambled too much this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Y'all tell me that no matter what, because y'all love me. Amen. Revelation chapter 16. Let's cover a few more verses and we'll close it. You remember me talking a while ago about the intercessors conference? And intercessors will partake of the glory first. Revelation 16. Now understand this is the time of the tribulation, right? But look what it says. In verse number 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed, does he say blessed, is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Blessed is he that watcheth. Now, when you see in Scripture the word watcheth, it has to do with prayer and intercession. You become a watchman. He's not talking about just paying attention to natural activities. He's talking about a spiritual vision. He that's aware to what's going on. Because if you read the verses before, it's talking about a demonic release, a demonic operation. And the one that watches is seeing behind the scenes what's going on. Amen? If you have any discernment right now whatsoever, you're watching what's going on in our government, and you recognize operations of light versus darkness. You know, we want to, in the natural, as a nation, talk about political differences and political positioning and you know, how can I say, appealing to public attitudes. But those that actually see could care less about public attitudes. They see light versus darkness. They see truth dark versus lie. And if you really get down to it, if you really see, you don't hear everybody's political argument or what they're promising this election. You know who's following God and who's not. You know which party is aligning with truth versus aligning with deception. You know which news networks to watch, which ones not even to bother paying attention to. Amen? And when to turn off the TV altogether. Why? Because you see. And it says, blessed is he that sees, he that doesn't just see but watches, that pays attention. And I believe he's referring here to, as well as a side application, blessed are the intercessors that can see what's coming down the road. Because they're in line first to change, to move into alignment with their lives with God. In fact, let's look at it again. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And let's go to verse number 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Well, I'm not going to teach on that. Let's move on. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Do you follow me? This is talking about intercessors. People that pray. Blessed are those that are waiting for the return of the Lord, that are aware of his presence. But look at verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Blessed are the watchmen. Now, I believe everybody in the church is going to be blessed, do you follow me, as far as they're following God. But I believe every Christian that is after revival must become a watchman. You must have a prayer life. And it must be more than a surface prayer life of now I lay me down to sleep. You must have a prayer life where God can speak into your life and show you what's going on around you, that can illuminate you to truth and will choose appropriately. And God says, when that takes place, and when he comes back, which understand he's coming back soon, he's going to cause those that watch to sit down first and to personally serve them. Now you talk about the blessing on your life. What would happen with Jesus personally meeting every need you have or backing you in every endeavor you're involved in? And yet, I believe it's going to happen. I believe as we as His people move into living in the glory, living in that kingdom realm, become masters of it, we have Jesus backing us in all that we do. You know, an interesting side application of this is at the end of the tribulation, the great tribulation, where the Antichrist and his forces have Israel bottled up, presumably at the Valley of Megiddo, and the enemy thinks he's finally going to wipe out Israel, we have what's called take place the second coming of Christ, where Jesus with all of his saints, us included, those that are raptured, coming down, riding on horses. I can't ride a horse. You will be able to then. With your faith, you can now, right? Coming down, riding on horses to defeat the Antichrist. As we're riding down, all of a sudden, Jesus on his horse passes all of us and takes over the entire battle and defeats the Antichrist and all of his forces with the word or the sword of his mouth. We don't even fight in that battle. We just go as backup cheering audience. I mean, it's like the cavalry is sent down to win, and all of a sudden the captain of the cavalry comes forth, he wins the whole battle, and the rest of the cavalry just watches. That's what's going to happen. And what I'm getting at is with this blessing, we're just going to ride along with Jesus. He's going to do the fighting. He's going to take the forefront and just lead us where he's going. And by the time we get there, the battle will already be won. Oh, hallelujah. But we've got to be willing to deal with the small issues in our life now. Make the changes he's addressing now to move into that. Amen. You know, the Bible refers to us as good soldiers, right? In fact, the scriptures are full of military terms applied to the saints. And one thing to go into the military, and I was never in the military, so you may feel I'm not qualified to speak on this, but I've spoken to a lot of military people, right? We have a World War II veteran here today. Some of the rest of you were in the military. And I was talking to Barry about his escape from the service. His lottery number, they were drawing the lottery numbers when he graduated. When he was 19, they called him. And you end up with a 200 and something is your lottery number. 264. He never had to go. So I'm sure he was thankful about that. But when you go into the military, the first thing they do is send you to boot camp. Do you follow me? They're not going to give you an army tank or a bazooka until you've gone through boot camp. And in boot camp, they tear down. BJ was military. Well, she was Air Force. That's kind of military. That's paramilitary, right? And they tear you down to your base self and then rebuild you how they want you to be. And you may go in there as a wisecracking smart mouth, but you come out, yes or no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Or you'll peel a lot of potatoes. And they tear you down to build you back how they want to. And then once they build you back, I'm going somewhere with this, then they're going to give you this phenomenal authority and power and resources. And you'll do what you never thought you could do. Amen. But first there's got to be the tearing down and building back. Well, I believe right now, and for some time, we've been in the tearing down and building back mode. God's tearing down this. These attitude things, these self-image things, you know, who I am and who I think I am and who I'm trying to be, tearing all that down. And he's building back. I'm a disciple of Christ Jesus. I'm a son of God, an heir of Christ. Do you follow me? And he's building back what he wants to get you now to move you into the kingdom, to give you all this power and authority and resources. But you got to cooperate with boot camp. Otherwise, oh, can I say this? If you don't cooperate with it, you become dishonorably discharged. And you become a wandering star, a cloud without water, or just another frozen, chosen, dead Christian. But I want all that God has. Amen. Well, listen. I'm going to stop there for this morning. Hope I didn't confuse you with all these rabbit trails we went on. But a lot of times when the Spirit of God is speaking, he'll take over what you're saying to address people right where they're at. And so hopefully that took place this morning, that God was able to speak to you personally. Just know this, he's got your best interest at heart. I was praying this morning early, God, have your will in my life. And a voice said, well, you know, I was saying, God, whatever you want me to do, have me change it. Whatever you assign me to do, have me do it. Whatever you want me to shift, have me shift it. And a voice said, if you do that, he'll put you in a place you'll never survive. You'll never be able to accomplish it. And I said, you stupid devil. If God assigns me to it, there's a grace to enable me to win in it. I can't lose if I follow God. The enemy's going to try to talk you out of it. Father, I thank you this morning. Mental commitments are being made to you, to your will for their life, that they're saying, Father, I give you all of me. I give you all of my actions, my goals, my attitudes, and I choose to follow you fully and all you assign. And I know that as I go there, your blessing will overtake me. Now, Father, I pray by the power of the Spirit, you do show people any hidden areas of their thinking you want to shift in them. And you show them the Scriptures, speak into their life diligently to see those attitudes changed. I thank in the church there are none sick, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife, none in despair. Each member going after the full blessing of God that reigns richly upon us. I thank you. I give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's something, I was mentioning that victim thing. And it's something I thought I had trampled down years ago. Years ago. Those things want to try to resurrect. You go through maybe a challenging time and it's right there wanting to kind of creep back in. And you got to stomp it down. You got to be vigilant or violently angry that would try to rise up in your life and stomp it down with the Word. And if you do, you'll kill it. That's what we want, right? Well, hug some necks. Show the love of God. Be a blessing. Congratulate Haley again.